Welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Beth Schild, and today's guest is so special to me. Talking to Amy Wood, she's my best friend, someone I respect and admire deeply, and honestly, one of the biggest inspirations in my life. I am so happy to be bringing her on the podcast today. Amy lives in Chicago with her husband, Ben, who was on the podcast last week, and she lives with her blended family. Professionally, she's spent more than 20 years leading large-scale business transformations and currently serves as the executive vice president of billing services for her company. But the reason I invited Amy here today has very little to do with her title. Like so many women, she's navigated divorce, single motherhood, building a demanding executive career, and trying to hold it all together while quietly asking herself, is this really who I am? Along the way, she made the courageous decision to step away from her career for a season, creating space to reflect, heal, and rediscover herself beyond the role she spent a lifetime fulfilling. Today, Amy is passionate about exploring the connection between identity, self-worth, love, and authenticity. She believes our greatest transformations don't come from becoming someone new, but from peeling back the layers of who we thought we needed to be so we can reconnect with who we've been all along. How we met is its own story. You'll hear that one in the episode today. We talk about so many beautiful things together, and I think getting to hear Amy's story is going to be a beautiful experience for you too. I'm so grateful she's here, and here we go. Welcome to the podcast. My bestest friend, you guys, I have Amy Wood here, and I could not be more excited. Before we hit record, we had to like calm ourselves down a little bit because this is just really special.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be a part of this process with you and support you. And this is just what we do. So I'm very excited to be here.
Yeah. Yes. And we had your husband, Ben, on the podcast last week. So I just wanted to bring my best friends, like power couple, powerhouses, to everybody to just learn from you guys. And I'm so excited. I was telling Amy, I didn't even prep today because we're just having a conversation.
And
we're just going to be in flow and try not to talk for 3 hours.
But, no promises.
So I'm doing my intro and bio is started out. So that's already gone. So they already know our special connection and just how much you mean to me. And now I just want to give the listeners an idea of who you are, like a little bit of your background. Share with us kind of what got you to where you are today, that anything that feels good to you.
Sure. So first, thanks for the compliment about the powerhouse couple. Yeah, I'm truly madly in love with Ben. And we were talking about how, you know, he did the podcast last week, and it's just going to be so interesting to see how our two individual podcasts line up or not line up. It will just be fun and funny. So, so thanks for that.
So guys, Amy has not heard Ben's episode yet when we record this. So I just wanted to like preface with that.
I'm not sure if I'll ever hear it. He told me I'm the one person that he really, really doesn't want me to listen to.
We're not going to
honor
his
needs.
He's
just being silly. No. He's just being silly. So, okay. So about me. So I live in Chicago with my husband, Ben, and our blended family. Between the two of us, we have 5 children ranging in ages from 12, just turned 12, all the way up to 24. So we're doing the parenting thing and blending families and navigating all of that. This is my third marriage, and this is Ben's second marriage, which I'm sure he talked a little bit about. So if I rewind all the way back, I was born in Montana. I'm the youngest of 4 daughters. I was adopted, and I grew up kind of around the western states, so Montana, Wyoming, Oregon, and then eventually ended up in Utah. We moved around quite a bit. I was actually thinking about this right before we got on here, like some of the most challenging years, I think, were those high school years, because I went to 3 different high schools in 3 different states. So, you know, a couple of years in Montana, Oregon, and then ultimately my senior year in Logan, Utah. And then I ended up staying in Logan for quite a long time, roughly 20 plus years. After I graduated high school, I got married very, very quickly. You've kind of touched on this, I think, a few times in with your story and in the podcast just around Mormon culture. I was raised Mormon. And just that, that's just kind of the way it goes. You are encouraged to kind of launch very quickly, get married very young. And that's what I did. So I got married. I think I had been 20 for a week when I got married. And
I'd be too. I was 19.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're still younger than me. So how does this work? But yeah, so kind of did the things a little unconventionally because we actually eloped. I got married in Las Vegas when I was 20 years old. And we got sealed in the temple a year later. So that's part of the story we can maybe get into at some point, all the reasons behind that.
Did you guys get in trouble for that?
Yeah. You know, we didn't get in trouble, but there was a real fear of getting in trouble. Like, what? I don't know how to tell my parents that I just got married in Las Vegas at a wedding chapel at like 11 p.m.
Yeah. Yeah.
Surprise, I'm married. So that's kind of how it went. So my first marriage was one pretty traditional in the church. And it ultimately ended up deteriorating due to a number of reasons. And we can get into that as well.
Just kind of connecting the dots between, you know, born and where we are now. I was married for about 8 years. And then, you know, we ultimately ended up getting divorced. And I had had two kids during that marriage. So my two older children that are now 24 and 21. I pretty quickly got into my next relationship. And at that point, between these two relationships, I left the church. I was just not really feeling aligned with the church. During my upbringing, I was very much a believer. You know, I grew up just accepting the religion and honestly really believing that it was true and that I belonged and this was right for me. And then I, you know, with the rupture with the marriage, really, I started to really see things differently and question those beliefs and ultimately ended up leaving the church at that time, because of the way that, the lack of support as a single mother, with two children. And, I was a sole breadwinner. My first husband was ill for the last 3 years of our marriage. And I was the only one working. And so I was working full time. I was taking care of the children. I was supporting us. And when I ended up leaving the marriage and the church showed up, the people in the church showed up the way that they did, it just didn't feel good to me anymore. And then, you know, I very quickly got into a next relationship and it was good for a long time. There were red flags. I believe that I'll just speak for myself. I overlooked a lot of red flags that I look back now. And it was very apparent that there was alcoholism and just a few things like that. And I went ahead and, you know, the very first relationship after my first marriage, ultimately ended up getting married a second time about a year and a half after we were together. But I got my third baby out of that marriage. And that marriage ended up, you know, lasting roughly about 8 years as well. So Ben and I are, you know, we're working through the 7-8 year mark and it's going really well so far. So, I got my, you know, my youngest and she just turned 13 and, such a blessing. So, yeah. But lots of difficult situations. And again, during this entire time, you know, I was building my career as well. It's one thing that we haven't really talked about is I started with a company back in 2003. There was eight of us. I was employee
was
number
this,
eight.
Were you in your first marriage at that time?
I was in my first marriage. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And just the only one working at the time and just trying to find something that paid more, that could help us, you know, get a house and really support family. And so I answered an ad in a paper, in the paper, the local newspaper. This is really going to date me. And I faxed my resume. I don't even know if you could call it a resume at that point. You know, I'd worked in retail and did bookkeeping. I was 23, I think. And
23, how many kids at this point?
Just one. Yeah. So my son was actually born a little over a year after I started this job. I've been there forever. So started as employee number eight and as a billing manager. And this company was a startup essentially. And we, you know, a core group of us built this company from the ground up, and it's now the largest utility management and billing company in the nation. We've grown from 8 employees when I started to, you know, almost 4,000 employees. You know, we just transacted for over $3 billion, and it's been such a fun, rewarding, exhausting, you know, depleting yet fulfilling wild ride. So, and then I've, you know, served in different capacities on the executive team, you know, essentially my whole career at this point. So,
girl, I just want to take a pause. I just want everyone to just feel like you can feel the badass that you are from all of that. And something else I love about you is that you're just like, yeah, so I'm on my third marriage. Like, you just own it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I,
you know, it took some work to get to the point where I could say it with that type of energy behind it, instead of like, yeah, I've been married 3 times, you know?
Right. You say it with just like more, this is who I am. Like, this is what I've been through. Like, I love that about you. And answering, so when you answered the ad in the paper, you didn't have any experience in the role that was like the job opening? Like, what was the job title?
So the job title was billing manager, right? So that can mean anything. And so luckily I had 6 months before this had finally left my job at Shopko. If any of y'all remember Shopko.
It's a grocery store, right?
Well, it's like a step up from Walmart, you know, but not quite Target. Okay. So I just left that job and had taken, I have to laugh because it's just like such humble beginnings. So I left that job to take this job as a bookkeeper of a local mechanic/tire chain store in Logan, Utah. That's where I lived. And I had a desk for the first time ever. Granted, it was in the back, literally next to the bathroom. But I had my own space and a desk. So, and I would just, it wasn't even real bookkeeping, to be honest with you. I was like kind of keeping track of receipts and such for different stores in the chain. But that gave me this opportunity to put on the resume that I had been a bookkeeper. And so translating into a billing manager, it worked. So, so I interviewed directly with the CEO, of course, you know, you're going to, with a company that size, and, you know, just learned as I went. And, you know, I've thought a lot about, you know, coming onto the podcast and, you know, we might get into trauma and, you know, things that, you know, habits and patterns we adopted as we were younger that may not work for us right now. But one of those things that really was that I adopted at a young age is independence, because I didn't have a lot of support. And so I had to be very independent from a very young age. And then, you know, my first marriage, I carried, you know, the financial load and had to be very independent. And so that drive, though, is what got me to, you know, where I am today. And I really fought to move up the ladder. You know, I don't have a college education either. So I don't have my degree. I went to Utah State for about a year and then got married. So I don't have the degree or the essentially the credentials, but I, you know, fought my way up and helped build the company and ultimately became, you know, COO. And I currently sit as EVP right now. And it's been great. I've loved it.
Such an incredible story, friend.
Thank you.
I'm so proud of you. Yeah. And then also the, like your second marriage, you still were the breadwinner, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. When I started dating, you know, my second husband, my mom was like, well, does he have a job? And I was like, yes, he does. Like, that was kind of like the criteria, you know, like at least he's got a job. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, still very much the breadwinner. And you know, but that was okay for as long as it was okay until it wasn't, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And you talk about like developing the independence, needing to be mm-hmm. independent. And that is a lot of what made you the person that you are today and able to be so successful. Mm-hmm. And I think this is where people almost like gaslight themselves, or they don't want to, they're so grateful for who they are today that they almost diminish the pain of having to be that independent person. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a confusing space to like be grateful for the things you learned through the pain, but then also like, how do you heal? How have you healed from that? And I would love for you to talk about the hyper independent side of you and how that works in your relationship, but maybe let's hold that. I would love for you to talk about, but I want you to continue on to like still like kind of where you're at today, and then we'll go back.
Yeah. So yeah. So I guess I can go back into the work piece of it, because there was a point in time a few years ago, and there were a lot of changes at work. The founder retired, and we had a new CEO that came in. And I'm telling this just because this is like a really pinnacle point in my life. A new CEO came in, and for anybody, you know, listening that understands private equity and just kind of as you're building a business, what the goals and what the goals are there is, you know, cost reduction. You know, you want to bring people in and find efficiencies. And so the new CEO brought in some additional people that he had worked with before. And kind of the old guard, those of us who'd been there for a long time, were moved into other positions. And there were new initiatives and new goals brought in by private equity and new CEO. And I was really not aligned with how things were going. And I ultimately decided to step away. From at that point, I'd been there for almost 18 years. And I was just at a point where I was like, I almost physically can't be here anymore, because it is such a misalignment with some of my core values are and how I approach business and interactions with those that I work with. And it was just such a misalignment that I chose to step away, which was very scary, because I had, you know, gone through my second divorce. Ben and I were dating, but we'd been long distance, and I was the sole provider for my children, all three of them. I did not get child support. I actually paid alimony in my second divorce. And so, like, it really was like taking a leap with absolutely no safety net. And it was very scary, but it was.
How did you come to that decision? Because of everything you just explained, being the sole provider for three kids,
mm-hmm.
completely on like that's, you know, I met you right after that.
I know. Yeah, it was. Yeah, right after I'd done that. I kept talking about it. And I was, like I said, I was almost physically unwell staying there. And so it was one of those things where you get to the fork in the road and you have to make a choice because you can't keep going on the way that you're going on. And so I talked to Ben a ton about it. You know, my son was actually just finishing up his sophomore year in high school. You know, he knows his dad doesn't support him. He knows I'm the sole breadwinner. And he was like, what are you thinking? You can't quit your job. And I was like, you know, we're going to be fine. I have worked really, really hard. I have these, you know, my company had gone through a couple transactions. I had gotten a couple payouts that were really financially a great windfall for me. And so I was like, we can do this and we will be okay. And so as I was explaining it to other people that yes, I could do it and I would be okay. It was really me that had to believe that. And it was Ben that was like, finally asked me, he's like, when are you going to start believing what you're telling other people? And I was like,
girl, I have chills.
Yeah.
So were you and Ben were serious at this point? Like,
so Ben and I were,
and Ben was in Chicago and you were in Logan.
Yeah. Yeah. So Ben and I met at a work conference in Scottsdale, Arizona, and he lived in Chicago and I lived in little old Logan, Utah, and we were just worlds apart. Right. And we didn't make sense and it was impossible. Right. And that's a whole nother story that we can,
there's so much we could talk about because I love the story of when you guys met, but we'll see.
But we decided that we were just going to try it and try the long distance thing, not knowing, because I'm like, he's in Chicago, he has kids, I'm in Logan, Utah, and I have kids. Neither one of us are moving at this point. So we're just doing long distance and we were just taking it. It was just so good. It was like the choiceless choice of like, I can't not see what this is like with you. And so we were just taking it day by day. And for a long time, it was really, really great because when we were together, we were together. We would just, hey, I've got a meeting in New York, or hey, I've got this thing in LA. And we would just toot around the company or the country and just meet up. And we really dated. When we were together, we were together. Mm-hmm. And when we were apart, we were, you know, focused on career and kids. That space allowed us to do that, to actually be there for our kids and focus on career when we needed to. And then we built this amazing relationship over the phone where we just talked and talked and talked and talked for hours. And tell me your hopes and your dreams and your likes and your dislikes. And I can hear you dealing with your kids over the phone and I get to kind of experience what you're like as a parent or, you know, those types of things. And so at this point we were long distance. And
so different than anything you've ever experienced before.
Yeah. Like the opposite of what I've experienced before, being seen and understood. And, he really wanted to understand and know me without needing anything from me, which is very different than what I'd experienced before, where I provided a lifestyle or, you know, support or whatever it was, you know, that I was providing. He didn't need that for me because I wasn't giving him this traditional relationship where we lived together and had a household and we're raising kids together. It was just us being able to get to know each other.
Was it hard for you to like trust that he wouldn't be like the other men in your life? Because it was so different.
So we still go through that. Like, yeah. There's still little triggers that pop up for me. They're little gifts for me to sit with and be with and say, this reminds me of something from the past, from my past. And so what do I want to do with it? You know? And so absolutely, it was very hard to trust. And that's been a work in progress for both of us throughout our relationship. you know, and it still is. He calls me his little trigger puller. And like, I truly believe that, at least in our situation, but I actually believe this, I see this in others as well. We came together and we are here to trigger each other in order to surface what is inside each of us that is unhealed.
Beautiful.
And we get to, we've created a space where it is safe for us to do that, where I can be triggered and he knows it's not necessarily about him. And so he can, it has this amazing way of holding this space for me and asking me questions and getting me to a place where I can see that this is an old wound. And this is not about what's happening here in this moment. It's actually about what happened to me when I was 5 or 15 right. or 25 or 35, you know?
Mm-hmm. I love that you bring that up because it's not just from a past marriage, because a lot of, you know, married, long-term married couples, they don't understand that they're being triggered from their childhood or past relationships or the 5-year-old in them. Right.
Absolutely.
And so, okay. So this is a good lead into, I want, you guys didn't always have this awareness of your triggers, and like Ben and Amy, I also, you guys are both certified life coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And so you guys have done a ton of work, healing work together, but when you met, you were not what I would call conscious.
Yeah.
Right. So do you want to get into that?
We thought we were really smart, though. We used to say, we're two smart people. We can figure this out, you know? And I think we are two smart people, but we were not conscious, what I would consider conscious individuals.
And what does that mean to you?
That's such a good question. And I'm sure that I can, like, fully articulate it the way I would hope to. When I think of my own journey, there was definitely a point where, and it came from one of those dark nights of the soul experiences where let me back up. I've always been very curious, a very curious person. And I love, human nature fascinates me. Why do people do what they do? And I love to observe and really like understand that. And I reflect that, I do that with myself too. So this really came from like a dark night of the soul situation where I was like, this can't be it. Like if I don't figure something out, I might literally spontaneously combust, like physically explode. And so it came from an experience that I had that helped me gain awareness that this isn't like the life that I'm living isn't just about the motions that I'm going through. It is about purpose and it is about finding out what you're here to do, and which I'm a big believer in. And it was just kind of like taking the blinders off to understand that I actually can understand why I'm doing what I'm doing, why the things in my life are happening, and that I'm actually the creator of those things. It is fascinating for me sometimes to take a step back and look at what I have created. And a lot of times it is, I have created a situation that is so uncomfortable because there's something for me to heal, a pattern for me to break. And it has been a cycle that has happened over and over in my life. And I finally can see that, oh my God, I'm in it again. I'm in this exact same situation again. And I created this. I'm so fucking powerful. It's insane.
Yes.
So now what do I want to do in this situation that is different from what I've done every other time that I've been in this situation? And so for me, it was just us being conscious is just kind of understanding that if you're not careful, there's programming running in the background, and you're brain is more than willing to run that programming over and over and over, but it's being aware of the programming and understanding that you can actually change it and you're separate from that programming and you don't actually have to just follow the same program over and over again. So you can choose separately.
Such a good definition.
I don't know if it was good or not, but.
Yes. Okay. So you kind of started to learn that you are the creator of everything. Yeah. Which is the best news ever because you realize you can change it.
It's so powerful. It's such a powerful place to be that life is not happening to you, you know, that it's happening for you and you get to do with it what you want.
Right. And so as you're learning this, are you guys having these conversations like together?
Yeah. So he, I had a very, life-changing experience and was telling him about it. And he was like, I'm all in, like, this is so fascinating. And we were so much in alignment with what we wanted to do, that I think it would have been one of those things that would have, broken us, you know, it's a make or break moment because I couldn't like, I had momentum at that point because I felt so much freer than I had in the past. I gained so much freedom from this understanding that I'm like, tell me more. Let me learn more because this is so powerful. And so it would have been definitely one of those make or break moments of like, if you're not coming with me, I'm not sure we can do this, you know, if we're not going to do it together.
Yeah. And so, he was like, I'm
in. All Let's in. Go. Yes. All in. Yeah. Which is, I think, probably the key to our relationship is just, we're on this path together. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're all evolutionary beings. We are constantly changing. And so I expect him to change all the time. I don't expect him to show up as the same person every day, you know, the same person he was when we met. And so we are evolving together all the time. And just, you know, open to each other's feedback, as hard as it might be. But I know it helps us grow and evolve together.
I love this so much. So you guys have been doing this like healing work pretty much your whole relationship?
Not our whole relationship. Like we'd been together for, you know, a couple years at this point, mm-hmm. you know? So, like I said, we thought we were really smart people. We were pulling off this long distance thing that was, you know, very non-traditional and we loved it, you know? And, but then we gained a new level of understanding, after we kind of like broke through this barrier, which I think, I don't even know where we would be if we hadn't done that, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you stepped away from your company.
Yes. So, Ben and I were long distance. So I ended up stepping away from the company. It was the scariest thing I've ever done and had no plan.
And he said, when are you going to start believing yourself with what you're telling everybody else?
Yeah. I kept defending like this choice of like, I can do this and I'm going to be okay. And he challenged me. He's like, when are you going to believe it? And I was like, okay. So this is during COVID time as well. So we had gone remote. We'd been working remote and I'd done, you know, almost 18 years in the office every day. So this was new for me. And so I got to the point where I was like, and told my boss, I said, I'm moving to Chicago. Like, bye. So my oldest had graduated high school. My son was finishing up his sophomore year in high school. And then my youngest was like third grade or whatever. And since I moved so many times in high school, I was never going to do that to my kids. And so I went to my son and I just said, how do you feel about this? And he was like, let's go. And I was like, really? Because if he was not on board, knowing what that feels like to move at that, gosh, that age with the friends, and he grew up in Logan, you know? And he was like, let's go. And I was like, okay, let's go. So
I love that you asked him.
I wouldn't have gone if he
and that
said
you were going to honor what he wanted in that situation because of your own pain.
Yeah. Which
that's breaking curses, like generational trauma right there.
Yeah. Yeah. It could go the other way too, right? Like you try to heal what, you know, your own childhood wounds through your children sometimes. And sometimes that goes the other way, which we can talk about too. But so we moved to Chicago and, but Ben and I did not move in together. So he has two little kids. I had, you know, the younger daughter and my son was going into high school or to his junior year. And I'm like, I'm just not putting him into a house with a new relationship and three little kids for us to manage. I'm just not doing that to him. So I got this beautiful condo. I quit my job and just went and got this beautiful condo in downtown Chicago, right on the lake in the river. And we just blew it out. It was magical. And I had a lot of fear about moving in with Ben, honestly. Mm-hmm. And so I actually...
Which makes sense.
It's a lot. I've only had my kids. I don't know how to be a step, you know, parent at this point. So I didn't tell him this after I did it, but I signed a 2-year lease instead of a 1-year lease.
I didn't know that part of the story.
I was like,
you were feeling so free and like, oh my gosh, moving to Chicago after being in Logan for that long.
Growing up, I dreamt about living in New York City. Like I am a city girl at heart. Mm-hmm. Like I couldn't wait to get to the city and just live it up.
Yeah, but so, I love that you, even though you couldn't express it at that time to him, like you knew that that's what you needed and you did it.
Yeah. I didn't keep it from him. I was just like, surprise. I locked in this amazing rent for 2 years instead of one.
And how did he respond to that?
So he was looking for another place too. So he's like, okay, I guess I will buy a condo instead of rent a place. So he ended up buying a condo not too far away from where, like I just lived right downtown because I really wanted the kids to have a really good experience. Like I loved Chicago so much. I really wanted them to love it. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to set it up as the best scenario
possible. So Amy moves to the bougiest condo. We don't have to say the name, but it was like really kind of out of a movie.
It was like every luxury you could possibly imagine, like valet parking and just
all the amenities.
It was just, it was some of the best time of my life. And I was like, I worked so hard. Like, let's just do it. Like, let's live out a childhood dream of mine to live in a city in a high rise and just have it be amazing. So we did it. And it was amazing. The kids loved it. The kids fell in love with Chicago and they just integrated so quickly. And it's actually interesting. So my two older children are both gay, and growing up in Utah with the influence of the Mormon religion mm-hmm. was somewhat difficult for them. And so my son getting out of that culture and, you know, getting into another culture where it's okay and it's absolutely accepted.
Yeah.
It just thrived, you know?
Yeah,
and so it was
the
really
best
amazing
thing
to see
ever for him. And then your older daughter, she moved on her own somewhere
else.
She
moved in with her girlfriend at the time to Arizona. And so at that point we didn't live together, and so which was
that's
difficult
big
too.
Big change.
Like huge change for all of us. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you feel like you kind of settled into it pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I didn't put any pressure on myself. You know, I did have a little anxiety about money, but we had enough and we were going to do it the way we wanted to do it. So I just took some time off and was a stay-at-home mother for the first time ever.
How was that?
It was one of the most amazing gifts I could have ever given myself to get up in the morning and without the obligation of having to go to work and get my kids out the door as quickly as possible and do my makeup and all the things and show up, you know, like that every morning. So I would get up and I would make my kids breakfast every morning. Mm-hmm. And my son, like, you know, he was older, but he was just like, he just loved it. Every morning, just, what do you want for breakfast? It was like scrambled eggs or oatmeal or whatever, you know, and like.
I love that.
So for that, you know, time, it was just kind of building and almost rebuilding some of the part of the relationship that I hadn't been able to have with them while I was working.
Yeah, that's so beautiful.
Yeah. So it was.
I've heard this. I haven't heard the story in this way before about like how that was for you to not work after so long of, you know, being gone. I love that for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And about 3 months after I moved to Chicago, Ben and I took a trip to Iceland, and he actually ended up proposing on this trip to Iceland. Mind you, I just moved to Chicago and signed a 2-year lease.
And so you didn't see the proposal coming.
I did not see it coming. Like, we knew, you know what I mean? Like, of course I'm going to be with you. And, you know, he'd asked about, you know, what type of diamond I liked or whatever, but I did not see the proposal coming. I just moved there and signed a 2-year lease. And it was a 3-bedroom condo. Like, he's not moving in. And I'm not moving out, you know? So that was kind of what I said to him, you know, as I was like, so I guess like, you know, I was so surprised and so excited, you know, and so happy. This is the man I want to live the rest of my life with. And I was like, so I guess we're just going to have a really long engagement. You know, this is after we came back from Iceland. And he was like, why? And I'm like, well, because we can't move in together yet. And he's like, I just want to be married with you, to you. I want to call you my wife. And he's like, we've already done this relationship, you know, based off our own rules. He's like, we don't have to live together until you're ready, you know, until you want to. And I was like, Yahtzee, okay, let's do it.
Right. Because you still, in your mind, you're like, it's the old programming. Okay.
Yes.
We get married. Yeah. We have to move in together.
Yeah. Yeah. So we got married. This was, you know, September of 21. We got married in February of 22, and we did not move in together until we purchased a home in August of 23. So we were married for over a year, like a year and a half.
I love that.
So
love
we did
that.
Not ever live together until after we were married. So it was wild. And I love that we did it according to our own rules.
Because that's what felt good to you.
Yeah. It was great.
And that's what I love about my story too. It's like,
right?
I checked the boxes and did everything how I was supposed to. And then all of a sudden you're like, I get to do whatever I want to do.
Girl, whatever the fuck you want.
Right.
However you want to do it.
No rules.
None.
But I used to follow all of them. And I used to think that they, you know, you had to do things a certain way. So I love that you and Ben did this. And I want to know though, like once you moved in together, after being married for, you know what I'm going to ask you?
How was
it blending the kids and the family after a year and a half?
Oh, I was so scared. So the thing that you should know about me, hyper independent, but like I am also a triple Virgo.
Yeah, let's go. Let's talk about this. That you're, because I thought I was hyper independent, and I have a big hyper independent part of me, but I think you take the hyper independent cake.
Yes. And I eat it and I bake it and I do all the things. So yeah, as a triple Virgo, like it, hyper independence, but also like, lots of control, right? Like to control, I want things to be very predictable. Cleanliness and order is also very important to me.
What have you learned about that, Amy?
I have learned
Why
surrender.
Are you that way?
I have learned a lot about surrender and about when I get into this control, hyperfixation on controlling my environment or whatever, it's not about that. For whatever reason, there's something that's making me feel unsafe.
Right.
Whether it's, you know, something, you know, maybe I don't know how to show up as a parent, as a step parent in the moment, or, you know, I'm having a challenge with, you know, my relationship or work or whatever. And Ben pointed this out. I didn't even know I did this, but he's like, you're angry cleaning again. I will go like clean. And like, I didn't even know that I did that. Like,
it's your coping mechanism. It's so cute.
It's a coping mechanism.
And you guys, Amy's house is spotless.
And it's actually like not, but I really want it to be.
Because it makes you feel safe. Okay, but I interrupted you. You said Ben is also a Virgo, but he's a different Virgo.
Ben is also a Virgo, and he is not a Virgo-y Virgo like me.
He's
so,
not a Virgo-y Virgo.
He's not a Virgo in that way. And so, like, I mean, I knew him. I'd seen his habits and how he kept his place and all the things. And I was like, ooh, how's this going to go? And we're also we're different people. We've been parenting these children for a long time as separate entities, if you will. And so I was just nervous. And then nervous, you know, that really was born out of like my lack of like belief that I could hold it, that I could handle it, that I could be with the messiness or the way he parents that differs from mine. And I also have, you know, my second marriage was very challenging in that, you know, my second husband was a step parent to my older children, and their relationship became very toxic and was just very unhealthy. And so a lot of times I felt split. And so I'm, you know, sitting in conflict with my husband and my children, and who do I choose?
So hard.
And it was very difficult. And so I had to work through a lot of that around that old, you know, that old wound of feeling that way. And so I was afraid of that too. Absolutely. And so moving it together, I was like, here we go, you know. But we'd Ben and I, you know, were really working on a relationship and built a container where we could have really difficult conversations, and that it was safe to bring things up that, like, I was safe to bring things up that I felt about him and how he was showing up with my children, or I could have an issue with how his children were showing up, and we could talk about it. Doesn't mean that we aren't going to be triggered, and we still get triggered.
I am just laughing because
yeah, Beth, why don't you tell us about your experience with
I
that?
Feel this so deeply. Well, this what's so great is Amy and I met in 2022, and I didn't move in with Randy or meet Randy till 2024, moved in 2025. So I didn't get anything that you were going through with moving in and blending families. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, I dreamed of having a conscious relationship like you guys, and I figured chances are I'm going to find someone that also has kids at this age. But once I jumped in the same wagon as you, now we get to support each other, help each other. It's not easy, guys. And I don't know how people who aren't conscious or doing their work survive the blended family, because it's very challenging and very triggering. And you do have to sit in some really, really uncomfortable, say things that about, you know, the other person's kids sometimes and yourself. And anyway, it's a lot to navigate and hold.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have a butter dish moment where
that didn't have anything to do with the kids, though.
No. But be told, and I hope Randy doesn't dislike me for this, but when you were talking about moving in together, I was like, don't do it. Like,
you were like, wait a second here. This fills up really fast.
Wait, you don't have to do this. You get the rest of your life to be together. I was like, just.
Yeah, Amy so, was like,
wait, I'm sorry, I told, Randy.
I told
and I
Amy
love them together, but.
And Amy was like, hold up, what?
Yeah. Are you sure? Are you sure you want to get this house? What are you doing?
We're on our own paths.
No, and it's beautiful. And like, I get to call you. And there are times when I am unhinged and I call you because I'm like,
right.
And Beth is so amazing. I actually wanted to say this because listening to your podcast, like, your voice is just, you're so grounded and you're so anchored, which I think makes people feel so safe with you. And then there's this side of Beth that I get to see, that she is just this ball of energy and light and is so fun and silly and just hilarious. And I'm just like, I don't think most people get to experience that of you. That's the, like, what I get most of you, and I love it so much. That's why we're, you know, like, so close. But I'll call you because I need grounded Beth sometimes. And she just, you just let me go off. And I get to say all the things that are true to me that maybe I feel a little bit of shame about thinking or feeling as well. And it's safe. I get to say it to you. And we get to work through these things, you know, together. Because it's freaking hard. Mm-hmm. Being a parent is hard. Being a step-parent is hard. They're both difficult and rewarding. And I don't think, you know, I see these posts on Instagram about what it's like to be a step-parent. You know, my algorithm has that popping up. And I'm just like, I think you have to make it your own. I don't think that there is a right or a wrong way to show up as a parent. And I just trust that I'm showing up in the way that those kids need according to their path, you know? And, you know, I've got this, there's another parent in their life and I can't predict how they show up. And so I have to just show up as me, however that feels, you know?
Yeah. Getting me in my feels over here, Aim. Thank you for saying everything that you said. And I don't know what I'd do without you in my life, honestly, because this is just such a special friendship. And it is so incredible to have a friend where you can say, like, I can say the same things you just said to me, where I know you're not going to judge me, but like, I got to get this out. And
yes.
You know, your partner hopefully is someone that you can say everything to, right? But it's like, sometimes I need to talk about things with you that I need to process and talk before I talk to Randy about it, or I just need to vent.
Absolutely.
Right. And that's like what my best girlfriend is. And something I do want to share this too, that something incredible about Amy is you have this way of also being anchored and saying things that I can't see within myself, seeing things that I can't see within myself. And something that Amy pointed out to me recently on our trip to Chicago that we just visited them, but was how Randy's kids, some of them, are triggering my inner child.
Yeah.
And of course, our kids also trigger our inner child, right? But here I have these new kids in my life that I love, and they're holding up a mirror and bringing up things in me that my kids couldn't bring up that are uncomfortable to see. And the way that you were able to like offer that to me and help me see was so, it was like mind-blowing, profound.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a we've talked about this before, but it was a different way. It was the timing, what I needed to hear.
Yeah. It was timing. And honestly, it was really something you said to me that helped me to know that maybe this was the right time to say it. I was like, oh, she was here. Now she's here. And so it's time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you for that.
With each other. Interesting story. When we first met, we actually did not connect.
I know.
We were just, I'm not gonna say I didn't like you because that's not true. But it was like, oh, we just we I was during my time off from work, I hosted this little women's retreat in Sedona, and you came, and I didn't know
We
you.
didn't know each other, yeah.
And so we'd had mutual connections, and just kind of throughout that retreat, it was just like, all right, we just didn't connect.
We never connected, and I said the same. I thought the same thing. I didn't like not like you, but like
Oh.
we were not in alignment at that point in our lives.
Yeah.
I had, let's see, July, June, like 4 or 5 months before I had finally left my marriage, and I was in the deepest pain, one like so, in so much pain. And then you were like, I left my job, and I remember you saying like, you. Here's Amy. She's so bougie. She flies in from Chicago with her dog.
Yeah.
And she's just like so put together and so, you had been married for a few months or 6 months or something like that. And I remember you telling me that it was your third marriage as we're driving. And I'm just barely, getting divorced, going through the beginnings and phases of divorce of my first marriage. And I'm
You're like, oh
thinking,
God, please tell me that's not my future.
right, honestly, I was like, I do not want to go through
Yeah.
that. And so, like, for me, like, our stories are so different, right? Like, I just was able to, well, actually, I had no business dating, but like, I had so much trauma to heal from that I didn't even have the capacity. And I was just told myself, like, I'm gonna stay alone for a long time so that, 'cause I was just a mess. So, but then, so we did the retreat. The retreat was beautiful, by the way. And thank you for saying yes to me coming, even though you didn't know me and even though we didn't connect.
Yeah, no, it was like, I just tapped into like what feels good, and you were a yes. I was like, yeah, let's do it,
Yeah, so
So
we
then
didn't connect.
we didn't connect, and then it wasn't later on until gosh, 6 months later, we did a different retreat in Bali, and we were just the best of friends on that retreat and had the best time. And yeah, like the rest is history. And like then you started coming to Chicago and visiting, and it was just so great getting to like host you and getting to like know you. And you were single Beth. You were, divorced Beth, the divorced, single mother, and such an amazing, great friend to me. Obviously, like a coach and somatic practitioner, and all the things, when you get to help me all the time, and I truly appreciate it. And now
Thank
we get to
you.
experience Beth in engaged Beth, so it's so great.
Yeah, how has that been? That's for you guys.
So it's so interesting. I've seen this
Which
quote
I why
before.
are we making this about me?
It's
Cut,
great.
abort.
No, this is good. We're talking about friendship, but I've seen this quote before, and it's around, friendship, and it's like how I believe this about any relationship. And I said this before, like we're all evolutionary beings, right? But I don't expect you to stay the same. And I think that that is kind of key to any relationship. I was thinking about like our kids even, They're through their formative years, we expect them to change and develop and grow and do all these things. If they didn't, we would be like, what's wrong? And then we get to a certain point, and some people want you to stay the same and don't change and don't show up differently. But in conscious relationships, and even in some unconscious relationships, I say it like it's a bad thing. It's not. It just is what it is. But like people change, and people. And I think it's important to allow people to be different and evolve. And so this is just another version of you that I get to experience. And the old version isn't gone. I still get, to go on little trips with you. Like we took our just took our kids to Mexico last year. I love taking trips with just my kids alone. I think that's really important for them, and it's really important for me. And so I love going with like another mom, you know, and just take our kids. It's so fun.
Yeah.
So it's been great.
Yeah.
I love you with Randy.
Thank you. We love being with you guys. And it's really cool to be around other couples, which when I say that, I'm like, you guys are the only ones that are
the circle is small.
Like we want to expand this community and, you know, maybe just express right here on the podcast that we're going to do a couples retreat.
Yeah.
And, because having a conscious relationship is just, it just deepens everything, connection, intimacy, love, and there's an energy that is created from that I never knew existed.
Mm-hmm.
And so bringing that to more people is just, it's beautiful to be around. And when you haven't been around it and you're around someone who's conscious, that's also the most amazing feeling if you've never had it. And so I just want to expand that together.
Yeah, I'm super excited to see what we can create and and bring. So,
Yeah. Okay, we're at about an hour.
Okay, that went by so fast.
I know. I just love you so much. I think it's beautiful. Amy, thank you so much for sharing everything that you've shared today. And I just love that. I love you so much. And I just admire and respect you so much. And I'm so grateful to have you in my life. Tell us like what's to come for you? What's next? And what are you working on? Anything else you want to share before we wrap up?
Yeah. Just thanks for having me. I had the best time with you. I just love you so much. So what's to come? Like, who knows, right? But when I had some time off for work, and maybe we'll close the loop on this.
Oh, yeah, you got to finish the story because let's take a little more time because we need to close the loop to where you are.
Okay. You don't have to take it out. It doesn't matter.
So you're at your beautiful high rise. You're a single or a stay-at-home mom for the first time. How long did that last? And then what happened?
So I would be lying if I didn't get a little anxious about like, what am I going to do now? You know, that did eventually like come. But it's interesting. So during that time, you know, in addition to just kind of like enjoying my time off, I really dove into some deep personal work. I worked with a mentor and a coach. Some people might have heard of him, Peter Krohn. If you haven't, he's an amazing, amazing gifted coach. And I hired him and then did one of his masterminds and really helped me to see some limiting beliefs that I had that were really blocking me. And one of the things he said to me is he was like, I've said this to anybody before, but he's like, but I think you should write a book. And so I was like, I have always thought about that, just telling my story. And the reason I've felt pretty called to that is I know how I feel when someone else is vulnerable enough to tell their story. Mm. For me, when I'm listening to someone and I'm like, oh my God, me too. Oh my God, she's thought that. She's experienced that. It just, for me, has helped me to feel seen, to not feel so alone, and has given me the permission, if you will, to be vulnerable as well. And so it's kind of one of those like pay it forward type things. So I wrote a book, you know, kind of during this time as well. And into, you know, when I went back to work. So my old company that I left recruited me back. They called me back.
they wanted you back.
They did. And they needed some things weren't working so well with, and so they needed me to come back. And so I agreed, and which was actually also a very healing, interesting experience for me as well, because I went back into a situation that I had left because it felt very unhealthy and I was very unaligned with it. But because of the work I had been doing and because of some of the things I had learned about myself, I understood how I'd also been co-creating that situation and how I could show up differently. And so I got to show up in the same situation as a totally different person, someone more aligned with my self-confidence, my self-belief. I tied and still do. I'm still working on unbundling this belief, but I tied my value to my title and how much money I made for a very long time. Because that's like, I was synonymous with my title. It was my identity. And so when that got taken away, when the new CEO came in and brought in new people and we got put in different positions, when that was taken away, it felt like a death. When I was no longer the CEO, excuse me, the COO, I didn't know who I was.
Wow.
And so I floundered for a long time, not knowing who I was, if I wasn't that. And so I, you know, that's a lot of the personal work that I really dove into with Peter Crone as well. And so I was able to kind of reestablish my own identity separate from the job and the title and the money.
And how did that feel?
It was, well, it felt like a death.
Yeah.
First, I literally didn't know who I was. I felt like I was no one and nothing, and I had no value. But from that place, you know, you get to rebuild.
Yeah.
And you get to rediscover who you are and where your value actually comes from. Because it's not the money, and it's not the job, and it's not the title. My value is right in here, you know? And I'm still discovering that, obviously, every day. And like I said, it's still something that I'm working to uncouple, is that belief of money and value, or title and value. But, you know, I mentioned that I wrote a book, and that process for me was extremely cathartic. To kind of go back.
And I got to read it, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
So proud of you.
Extremely cathartic to go back and relive some of the very difficult times of my life and see it from a new perspective and gain a new understanding from it.
Yeah.
So, and the book is, I thought the book was done. And what the book served as was a mechanism for me to offload my, what I believed was my story, but it was really just a layer of my story. And there is a whole more to my story underneath that layer, but I couldn't access.
Feel this.
I truly couldn't access that part of my truth and my story without telling what I believed was my story first. And so the book is done, but it's actually only going to be part of the actual book. So what's next? You asked that a long time ago.
how have you felt in your role again, or when you came back? Did you set new boundaries? Did you feel completely different in your body?
I feel completely different in my body. I set boundaries without having to say boundaries. I just, there's things that I accept and that I don't accept anymore. I'm confident in my ability. You know, I told this part of the story before, like I don't have a college education, right? And, you know, when private equity comes in, or, you know, if you don't have the right resume, you don't get some of the positions that, you know, that they have. So that was really devastating for a long time. And now I am absolutely solid in my business acumen and how I show up as a leader and who I am. I'm not waiting for somebody else to tell me what my value is. And so I do believe I show up extremely, you know, very different than I did before. And it feels really, really good. you know, I think I show up differently in meetings and how I carry myself and with my team. I care so deeply about my team and just want the best for them. And so the way I show up as a leader is very different too. It's more of a human interaction than a business interaction.
I love that. And I've gotten to see Amy in action a little bit when I facilitated breathwork at one of your conferences. And it's just, it's the presence you hold and who you are and what you've accomplished is just so incredible. Mm. So proud of you.
Thanks. So yeah, so I'm back now and we'll see what the future holds. I still, you know, we mentioned building a retreat, so I'm very excited mm-hmm. about doing something like mm-hmm. that. You know, I've got my life coaching certification.
Well, so. Amy is an incredible coach too. And are you taking clients?
Yeah, I'm always open to take clients. Yeah.
You just hold such a beautiful space and your heart is like one of my favorites. When we first started connecting and after Bali, and I was just like, I could feel your love and it was just so beautiful. I'm like, remember when I said it, I was like, you really love me.
I love really hard. And yes. It was actually something that someone said to me recently when I said that I'd been married 3 times. And she just said, oh, you really believe in love. And I was like, I do. I truly do. And I think that's part of what shifted for me. Yeah, I've been married 3 times. I believe in this thing called love.
That's one of your superpowers.
I just want to love. So, and okay, share
so
that.
One more question really quick that just came in was there any part of you that after the second marriage was like, I'm not going to get married again?
Externally, yes. That's what I said. Mm. I didn't actually believe that internally. Mm. This is actually another interesting story that Ben and I went through. You know, if you follow the chronologically, my story, I have never been alone. I've never not been in a long-term relationship. There's just been very little time between my marriages. Mm-hmm. And that was a big concern for Ben. He was like, you know, out of self-preservation, you know, for himself.
Right.
He was like, you need to date, girl. You need to like figure out what it is you like and not like, and you should maybe experience other people. And, you know, this was early on.
Valid. That's valid.
Right. And this was early on, like, but enough that like, I can say I was probably in love with him at this point, but I fall very quickly too. Right. So it's like, okay, right. So I just have to laugh because it's so hilarious. I went out on a date. So someone asked me out on a date and I told him, I'm like, and he told me, he's like, you should date. So I go out on this date and we go to dinner. I put my phone away, you know, like very present. We had great conversation. I had great conversation with this man and you know, we knew similar people and all these things. So we had lots to talk about. And so the date's like only like 3 hours, but 3 hours is enough, right? To go to dinner with someone. I get out to my car and my phone has so many messages. He like could not handle it. And he proceeded to drink probably a few too many glasses of bourbon. And so I call him. Literally, I haven't even left the parking lot of the date. And I'm like, what are we doing? What are we doing? I'm like, I should not be out on a date. You and I should just be together. And he's like, oh, thank God. He's like, I can't handle it. Like,
that is the sweetest story.
And I really was like fighting it. And I was like, what am I doing? I don't care about, I just want to be with him.
Yeah.
And so we just decided to surrender to it and be together.
So was that the last time you went out with anyone else?
Oh yeah. It was a one and only.
Such a beautiful conversation, friend. I knew we didn't need I knew I didn't need to prep for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Same.
Thank you so much for just who you are and what you embody and the mother that you are and the example and the badass. I'm so inspired by you. And I just love you so much. Thank you for being here and for sharing your story. It's really beautiful.
Thanks, friend. Thanks for holding such a beautiful space and making room for me. So I appreciate you and your friendship.
All right. That's it with my episode with Amy. I know it's going to be one that I'm going to want to listen to a couple times. What she shared about stepping away from everything she'd built, that's not just her story. That's so many of us. We spend years performing roles, the executive, the wife, the mother, the one who has it all together. And somewhere in there, we lose track of who we actually are underneath it all. If anything Amy said today stirred something in you, I want you to sit with it. You don't have to blow up your life to come home to yourself, but you do have to be willing to ask the question and actually listen for the answer. If this episode meant something to you, I'd love for you to share it with someone who needs to hear it. If you haven't already subscribed to the podcast, please do. Please leave a 5-star review. That really, really helps the podcast if that feels like something that you are open to doing. And thank you so much for being here, and I'll see everybody in the next episode.